The ego has a time of hibernation. 1 year I was in Atlanta, and they were talking to me that Jay-Z is in town. Jay-Z is the husband of Beyonce, is in town, and here's the report they were getting. He has grown so much beard, grown bushy hair. He wasn't looking like himself anymore. And people were wondering whether he was having problems in his marriage or whatever. And once the news and the gossip started seeping out, so he came out and gave an interview. And that's the part I saw. He said, I'm not having any problem. Do you know where he went? He went inside a bush. I don't know what to call it. There is a word they use for it in the U.S. And hired a house. He doesn't live there. He hired a house and moved in. Just a small bungalow. He said that he came here to incubate new music. That what he discovered is that over there in New York, he has started losing his... Now, I'm talking about children of darkness now. What they do. And he talked about one song that he released that went around the world. That particular one that was such a major hit. He has a couple of hits. But after a while, something happened. He just went plateau. He just flattened out. And he stayed in this place for a couple of weeks. He said, and I will remain there until I start hearing this music. He said, I hear them. Then I ride them. I hear them. They start coming with the wind. They start coming from space. I hear the relics. I've forgotten the song that he released after that. The thing caused commotion all over the place. The renewal or rebirth is not just spiritual. There is spiritual rebirth. Like Jesus talks about, you have to be born again. But even for people that are already born again, sometimes they start losing their spiritual cutting edge. They need to retreat. What causes people to lose their cutting edge, that they've stopped practicing those spiritual disciplines that brought them to where they were. They've started becoming careless. And you have to tackle your beak like the ego. Tackle your tackles. And take care of your packaging. You have to tackle your morals and spiritual strength. In some cases, some people have started losing their anointing. And losing their spirituality, their Christian values and character. You have to do something about that. Then you have to do something about your hunting skills, your job skills, those things that enable you to deliver. And once you're through, your moral stamina is back, your anointing is optimum, and your skills are sharp, then you reorganize and repackage yourself. And when you show up, sometimes businesses need to do that. Ministries need to do that. A ministry emerges and it has a cutting edge, is delivering results. After a while, they plateau because people get tired, people wear out. But the scripture said, they that wait upon the Lord. But the greatest thing about this process is pulling off the old. Some of you see, if this weekend is going to benefit you, you need to understand what you are teaching. You need to go back and empty your wardrobe, all these old clothes and all that. There is a new phase to your life. Empty it. Give them out. Bring them here. Drop them on the altar. Let PCJ go and give them. There are things now you need to release so that people that are still trying to come to that level can have them. Poor people can have them. And a new phase will hit your life. There are some of you now, that car you are driving is a coffin. You know, yesterday God was talking to me, but I couldn't give that word. A particular individual here, that car has tried to kill you more than once. Go and drop it on the altar. There is a bigger bench. There is something hot on the way for you. You don't know where to pull off your old skin like a snake, so you can come out fresh. There are guys that need to drop landed properties. I read it for you yesterday. Hey, show it again. Matthew, is it not Matthew that you read? chapter 10. Is that Matthew or Mark that we picked? It's in both. We picked it for Mark. Okay. There is no man that has left house, brethren, sisters, fathers. And there are some of us, there are some relationships that has been tying your destiny down. You need to surrender it this morning. It's a painful, when you hear about sacrifice, I think it's PCJ that talks a lot about that. What's that your favorite scripture? He that sows in tears shall reap in joy. Quote it, it's Psalm 126. Show it to them, let them see. The eagle will take his beak and start hitting. You don't understand, you know. Even hitting my nail is, you know, I don't wear long nails. Hey, can I find any of you ladies that has... No, I'm not trying to embarrass you. I'm trying to make an illustration. Like when your nail is long, yes, come on, my dear. Let me see how long your own is. Okay, you are trying. This is what the eagle will do. It will fly to a very high rocky mountain. Find where water has collected. It's going there to do hibernation. And it will take the beak that he used to hunt to tear flesh, but he has carved. It's supposed to be positioned like this. Like this curved knife. But now it curves in. So it's a big problem. The eagle dives down and he has only 1 second to catch something. And he does, and that thing curves in. He's not able to catch it. So he takes it and starts hitting it on the rock. Do you know what it means to remove these nails? No anesthesia. By hitting it on the rock.
It's very painful.
Have you ever had a little cut or anything, a problem with your nails?
Yes, and it's pained me badly.
See these two fingers? I know the same. This one, I had withdrawal. Just because of a small problem with my nail that wasn't properly treated. And it almost destroyed my whole finger. Who has had withdrawal here before? You have had it before. How painful is that?
So painful.
You have had it, sir? Come. I was, I think, first day in university, but I went through hell. And it was almost a whole week. How is that?
It was terrible. Terrible pain. Terrible pain.
I hope they have found cure for it, though. Because I don't know, in those days when we were in first year, I went to hell and came back. Just one finger. How can an animal, a bird, subject itself to self-inflict pain? That's what we call sacrifice. That's what we mean by sacrifice. Self-imposed pain in order to emerge the king of the forest one more time. That this happens around the age of 30, 40, and 20% of the eagle, members of the eagle family, fail to do that. They die. They die prematurely. Each one that goes through the process adds about 30 to 40 extra years to their life. And it's not just that they add it, they remain in charge. Some people don't know when to give away some shoes. Pack those shoes that are covering your wardrobe. Go and drop them on the altar. That's your past, and you are still hooked to it. One plot of land, that's why you can't move ahead. Go and drop it on the altar. A sister sold only house that she had to go and finance the building project. It's a duplex. She came and dropped the paper and the church, you know, got rid of it. And she moved from the duplex. This is, I'm talking about Lagos here. And moved into a flat. And people were asking her, what kind of nonsense is that? Is church making you mad? He said, you don't understand the process of renewal. I have become comfortable at this level and I have been here for years. 6 months passed. She was living in flats. The year passed, the next year, and I met her. I said, how are things now? He said, you need to come and see where I'm doing the project. And we drove. It's in the island. She was building an estate. And she went and took one of the buildings because she wants to commercialize, you know, whatever. It's money that she's making. But she took one of the buildings and built, I don't know what to call that thing, whether it's a mansion or a palace. Because I went around and I said, what kind of thing is this? It was one job that she hates. She completed that job for Lagos State Government. And this girl is not from the western part of Nigeria. How do you come from that part and get a contract with? She completed it. It's the profit that she is now investing. Then she started another project in Abuja. And her friend said, no, this is too much for you. You're a woman now. He said, no, when I was sewing, you were not there. When I was going through, look at it. They that sow in tears shall what? He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed. Precious seed is what we call in scripture sacrifice. That's what God did the day he offered his son on the cross. Don't think he was laughing on the throne. But because he wanted a harvest of me, you, and you look here, you think this is a big harvest. No. That one seed has given God over 3 billion harvests of human beings. That's what he wanted. So he went through that painful experience. Even the man they offered, who willingly agreed to obey his father, on Gethsemane he cried, "My, is there no other way? I wish there is alternative to sacrifice." That's what Abraham had to do. What was Abraham? Was he crazy? Why will you give the only son Isaac? What are you doing? Are you mad? No. There is a bigger vision. And it is a nation of Israel. God promised me that my seed will be like the stars. But at the age of 100, the only thing I have is a son. You can see, he is about to go. So he took that son and laid him on the altar in order to have a nation. And the book of Hebrews chapter 11 said, by faith Abraham offered Isaac. For he knew that God, number one, was able to raise him from the dead. When a seed leaves your hand, it can be painful. But it doesn't die. There's a process that the seed goes through. It dies first. Then that thing shoots up. Resurrection happens. And then the next thing is harvest. That's how we got here. That's how we left the former level behind to step into another level. This weekend, God wants to stretch you. God wants to stretch you. You have to give God what you have never given to him before. When you want to go where you have never gone before, you do what you have never done before. I think it's somebody that said insanity is to keep repeating the same thing and expecting a different result. It's called precious seed because it pains. That's what the ego does. It will take its big. Come with me, my dear. Just do it at least only 3 times. You lift it, hit it hard on this. This is not stone, just... You actually did that.
Because they asked me to.
No, we are doing drama. I'm illustrating a message. I don't want it to be hot. Okay, if you really want to obey me, do it very hard.
Oh, yeah.
God bless you. God bless you. She trusts me too. It's not me I want you to trust like that. It's God. It's God. It's God. I remember the first time I told Pastor to close all her account. Go and give it to God. Because she went through a lot. She went through a lot. If you know her story, what happened with her dad leaving when she was born, abandoning her in the hospital and all of those things. And going through school with very little support. And it's in school I started giving them this training. Go. He said, how am I supposed to survive? Let me show you the scripture I showed her. To be carnally minded is what? If you want to reason God out, you will never obey him. You will never walk by faith. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. They that sowed in tears. No. Before I come back to that. Go back to where you were. Want to exit that place. Those that sow in tears shall reap in joy. They that go forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing their sheaves with them. Every year, you should have this season of personal renewal. You will remain on top. You will remain the king of the beast, the king of the forest. There are people now that are stagnating in their career. They need career acceleration. They need to accelerate promotion and move ahead. Let go of your big. You know what shocks me about the ego? It takes him about 150 days to do this because it's a very painful process. You know, the harvest doesn't come immediately. There are some cases where it comes immediately. But the truth is, the long-lasting harvest takes a little time. There is seed time and harvest. There is a little gap. It's like conception and delivery. There is a little gap for incubation, for that pregnancy to grow. It's like that in this issue. It takes the eagle 150 days. That's almost half a year. That's about 5 months plus. And then it will take his, the beak will now grow back. It will take that beak and start tearing out the tarsals, those claws. They have become weak. They've become bent. They are not effective anymore. If you know what it means to remove your toenails without anesthesia, you just pull them out. If you know what it means, how does a person subject himself to this kind of thing? And you are the king of the forest. You are the king. You are the king of the birds. How do you do that? That's what the price for dominion. It's called sacrifice. Those are the two most painful. Then after that, this thing grows back. Then it's time to remove the feathers. Because at age 30 to 40, the feathers become so ugly, so dirty, the eagle starts looking like the vulture. And it will remove all that feather. And it will stay there drinking water. Next time you want to do retreat, you know how to do it. Retreat is not just go and sit there in one place and say you are doing it. You need the word. You need water. You need the water of the word. You have to bring tapes because every retreat should have a focus. What am I trying to deal with? Why is it that I'm not doing well in my marriage? I'm taking 3 days to solve this problem. You take tapes. Tapes on the subject. Books on the subject. You are there. You slow down on too much enjoyment and you are drinking water. You are soaking these tapes. You know, I was telling Pastor Sarah, we are rehearsing some of my major turning points. I remember the time I did this ego, whatever, 30 days. And everything was on Idahosa's material. I went to Benin, spent some time, and got everything that has come out of that man. I told them, even if he coughs on the side of tape, I will pay fully, give it to me. If he only sings, give it to me. And the rest of the tape is empty. And they were looking at me. 30 days, that's what it took me. There are seasons you should concentrate on certain things. And you notice that your faith life is weak. And you are an ego. God has made us an ego. We are the ones with the dominion mandate. God's children are kings and priests. When you notice that you are not exercising dominion, maybe it's dominion that is the subject. You take that. For this whole period, switch off TV. Switch off excessive entertainment. Switch off all these gossip magazines. Switch off all these distractions. You know, the only thing I used to do during that 30 days, just to attend Sunday service. Service finishing evening. That great ego, who is our savior. You know the time he retreated? 40 days. 40 days. When he marched out of that place. I read it for you yesterday. His fame went abroad. The people that want to be in charge of the today and the future have to learn what I'm saying now. There are new Dangotes, imagine. There are new Otedolas, imagine. And I want you to know, like, the other time I was reading the story about these two young coppers that founded this bank in Lagos. I'm even trying to remember the name of the bank. GTB. They were coppers. And they came into a bank to serve. But they had their mind that they are going to own a bank. It's not who is running now. It doesn't matter where you are now. You see, Jay-Z, no shaving, no nothing. The extra things, it was on a retreat. He marched out of the retreat 30 days after with a new song that was number one in the market. Sometimes a businessman finds out I'm losing my cutting edge. And he just retreats. Just take out a little, like the ego, maybe 5 months. Retreat to an executive leadership program or executive business course in LBS or in one business school. You don't know how we have stayed relevant after almost 30 years of ministry. Most of my colleagues that we took off with, I don't even know where they are now. And you know, this renewal, there is spiritual rebirth, there is mental, there is physical. You hear about sometimes people going for detoxification. Okay, my daughter, there was a complaint that the weight is too much. When she was small, we allowed her. We used to call her Shasha, just eat anything. She was first, so overpampered with food and all that. And I started getting worried. Pastor told me, no, it's baby fat. Once she grows, the thing will just... We watched the girl. grow, become a teenager. Nothing was living. It was adding. No, it's time to go for a rebirth. Physical rebirth. You don't stay a young girl and have tummy. No. You know, the woman different from the man. And there are things she put there. It's not just the face. A couple of other things. One of them is flat tummy. If the tummy is 3 months pregnant, the other assets, the ones that are up, cannot be seen. I'm telling you, you know, you think you're not supposed to go. It's in the church that we're supposed to tell ourselves the truth. But in love, this is where we do our packages, factory. When we finish, we go and market. Because this is family. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? If a man has breasts, we should be concerned. That stuff, part of it is to get attention. Of course, there's something they do in Cameroon. A young girl, they're in their teen, 13, 14, and they start growing big breasts. You know what they do? They have a culture. And the other time I saw them in CNN coming against it. But they were interviewing the locals, and they have a culture. They go and heat up certain tools, and they press it, and they send the breast back in. They reduce it to a level. Yes. They ask them why. He said, because these girls start attracting the male. And then some of them, you know, when a mango is not ripe, he's hanging there. Nobody looks. He doesn't. But once that yellow thing appears and is ripe, it gets attention. When a woman is ripe, there are features that are meant, designed by this, your heavenly father, to get attention. Because what he's saying is she's approaching the age for marketing. I want customers to start looking. Oh, there is an age again, gesto. Nobody's asking, are you selling or not? You need to be concerned. Hear it and hear it good. You are designed with customers in mind. Do you know my specification? I don't know why. Uncle G, I don't know why I'm like that. You know why I came after you and niece? Sisters Feed Fellowship, UNN. Why is it? You know, Pastor Beam, I used to travel a lot because we do a lot of school projects, youth projects, and, you know, close to the family, and Pastor Taiwo, even two of themselves. It's not just Pastor Beam. But, you know, Pastor Taiwo is not so... But as tall as he is, he's still taller than Pastor Beam. But when you see her on stage, she's so elegant until you look below. He's 6 feet. She even wears 7 feet. Yes. If you like, let the place be as smooth as the body of a cat. She walks on it, and there is no even checking. I don't know how she does that. She doesn't shake. Oh, Nigeria, the body of Christ lost a rare gem when that lady died. It was a tremendous gift, not just to this country. You know what her ministry did across the world. Some other customers are designed to go for. It differs. So when God was designing you, he had somebody in mind. That's why marriage is not by force. You like, the person doesn't like, leave the person alone. There's somebody else that likes. It's not by force. Don't even get offended. The person says to you, I don't like you. Don't get offended. It's better than for somebody to deceive you and get in there and you have your enemy in your house. The Bible said a man's enemy shall be members of his own house. That's the worst thing that can happen to you. Better to have enemies outside than to have it inside your house. Okay, we come back to precious seed. So, I told Pastor Sarah at that time, go and shut down your account and give it. She obeyed. And she brought the thing right before her face. I gave them away to other brethren. What stops it is disobedience, not sowing. But once you obey, the law of abundance comes into motion. So if I take corn and I'm putting in the ground, and I throw tantrum, this is corn I should eat, why am I planting it? And I go through all that, but finally I put it. Once it enters the ground, another law switches into motion. One of the first things that hit her, one of her roommate, I don't know if they, since she became very serious with her Christian life and all that, that lady kind of, you know, creating little problems for her. The lady came and gave her a box, a big box, because she ran to come and show it to me. A big box filled with all types of wares, not second-hand wares. She's on campus, but she flies in and out of London. I don't know, you know, these big girls that... Whether it's their boyfriend that pays or some Alhaji that pays, but whatever. She has that. She's an unbeliever. She comes and with shoes and all kinds of stuff. And she came to show it to me. I said, you have not even started. And then from there, the journey started. Other students finished. They were going to one place. She finds herself in CBN. She first had the opportunity to work in corporate affairs commission for a few months. And when it was time for the service to start, they gave her the opportunity to push herself wherever she wanted. Why? Because the guy in charge of that whatever was always coming to the office, was a friend to the boss. And then, so that's how, I said, push yourself wherever. Posted herself to Abuja, and then there, CBN. You know, I had that car, first car I ever had. It was a Mercedes, white. And I really believe for white, and I got it. I don't know why I don't like white anymore. But then, school, it was white. I don't know why. White caught me. Today is black. Especially for SUVs. Anyway, white. I finally got it. Somebody buys it and sends it to me. I sold for it. I sacrificed. I got it. And you know, first car, you treat the car like it's God. But one time that car, I was traveling with a group of people. I had our keyboardist and a couple of other people, you know. And it flew from the ground and landed on top of a tree. Can you believe that? We landed on the tree upside down. The tires were up. But we had our seat belts. It was only one person. I had two cuts in my body. One on my head. And then, you know, one person. But we came out fine. And I was... People ran, you know. People came from the road. They were. What happened is that there's a very deep valley on the side of the road. And there were cashew trees that grew from the bottom of the valley. If the cashew did not catch us, we would have tumbled down too. And we followed the branches of the cashew and climbed out. Because we didn't go inside the valley. The branches also came out. And that's how we... And we helped every other person. And four of us came out and we were fine. And I was lying down in the middle of the road. Cars are supposed to be coming. I didn't remember cars. I laid in the middle of the road. Actually. The truth we are not telling now, but maybe I should tell it so there will be contest. That car needed an engine work. And in those days, I used to save my tithe. I collect the tithe. It gets to the end of the month or maybe two. I go and release it. So the place where I collect my tithe, 10% of every. So I went there, knelt and told God, let me borrow it, just 30,000. Let me fix this car. I will pay you later. And you know, show them the scripture. If you ever borrow your tithe, when you want to return it, you add 20%. That's God said that to discourage that. It's a warning. Don't ever do that. If you're going to work in financial covenant, you better. The starting point is tithing. You have to take that. The starting point is tithing. If you're not tithing, you are disconnecting the covenant. And you are bringing in the devourer. But anyway, I prayed and answered the prayer. Because whether God said yes or not, you know, that's what I wanted to do. So, but I reported myself by myself. And he kept quiet. So I took it. Show it to them. When you ever borrow the tithe or touch the tithe, you should add a fifth. One fifth when you are returning it. It's penalty. You don't do that. Anyway, amazingly, you know, things kept going on well. There was nothing bad. A money was coming into my hand. But instead of paying that, I didn't. Because I will pay the new tithe, but I'm owing some other ones. I'll pay the new ones, and I left that one I borrowed. And it kept on going. 6 months passed. I was heading to a crusade at Onitsha. On the way to the crusade, that car packed up. The propeller pulled out. Some events happened. Bad gallop, and, you know, but it was all right. If a man will at all redeem out of his tithe, he shall add there to a fifth part. Give me a literal translation. After you find me the other scriptures, there are three of them. But let's just talk about this one. Okay, for example, now if you're cattle, you rear cattle, like Hausa Fulanis, and you have 100 of them. When it's time to tithe, what they do is that you allow the cattle to pass through the rod. The man will come here and put, you can put like a goalpost, but the way the Jews do it is that you put a rod and put it in the ground. And put a mark. Then you start allowing them to pass. 1, 2, 3. God said, don't choose for him his tithe. Let him choose by himself. Let them pass. Every tenth is his own. 9, the tenth one, remove it, is God's own. Then 9 again, the tenth one, remove, is God's own. 9 again, until all of them has passed. You remove all that. That's God's own. But for any reason, you said, I want the animals back. Let me give God the financial equivalent. You will pay 25% penalty. 20% penalty. Do you know why he said not to do this? Because what the guys were doing is, they will check the animal. The one that has curved leg, they bring that one, God's name. They will count and then check the one that has scurvy. They bring it out. Then they will check the one that has curved eyes. Maybe he's partially blind. They bring it for God. And then Sunday service, you know, Sabbath day for the Jews. They will be singing and drag the animals to the altar. Show it to them. Anyone that offers the blind, the lame, or the whatever is an abomination to God. Those laws are given in the Bible so that we can give God his rightful respect, his due honor. God is not the one you go and dash your leftovers. He's not the poor. Giving to charity is different from giving to honor God. If you offer the blind for sacrifice, is he not evil? If you offer the lame and the sick, is he not evil? Offer it to your governor. Will he be pleased with you or accept your person? Said the Lord of hosts. If you can't give that to your governor or your president, and you want to give it to God. You know, the Bible is complete. Like this kind of ministry that teaches eternity, teaches holiness, teaches all kinds of values, teaches national transformation. If you finish in a year and you don't teach people their priesthood, which is where giving is, prayer is, and all those other elements, you don't teach them that, you have doomed them. Christianity is complete. It's the probability is high that financial matters send more people to hell than even any other thing, than even immorality. Will God accept your person? Will he be pleased with you? Do I give things I've used and I don't need anymore? Yes, I give that. But when I give it, I know where I'm directed, so it can be given to the poor or people that I'm better than. Because whatever level you have left, somebody else is still trying to break to that level. That car that almost wanted to be my coffin, you know what happened? That car now pulled the propeller. So I went back to that tight area. I said, God, this is the last time, but I will borrow one more time. I've not paid you, old one. And I'm already owing. I said, please, this time around, I need to give the car a makeover. So it's not just the propeller. I had money to fix that. I wanted to do body work and spray it. And that's what I did. I actually went and did that. And I brought it out. It was new again. Wow. By this time, about 8 months have passed since I borrowed the first one. We now took off on this journey. We reached well. It was on our way to come back. We started flying in the air. And next thing, we are upside down on top of a cashew tree. And I'm sure it took about two of them with their branches or to hold us. When I came out, people were screaming and other people were coming to come and do rescue. I even ignored all those people trying to pull the car out and rescue the human being. I was lying on the express, on the road, flat, and forgot that cars are supposed to be. I was lying in the middle. I wasn't dead. I wasn't, you know, hurt or knocked out. Lying there because I knew immediately where the problem was coming from. So I said, God, with this blood flowing out, because the blood was flowing out from my head, coming into my eyes, I said, I use it to make a covenant till I exit this earth. Never again. Of course, on this issue of tithing. Of course, I did a few things. I had to employ somebody who my finance had to go through. You know the way civil servants, they remove their tax before you know what you are taking home. That's how I started living my life. And then after, I now learned when Apostle Ndobe visited us in those days in Enugu, I now learned that you are supposed to have a tithe account. I didn't even know about that. PCJ, this is what you need to do. Where is PCJ? No, you're working too hard. Please, come and sit down. You've done tremendously well. And all of us need to give him. Come and relax. You have done your job. Let God do the remaining. That's a pastor plus plus. You know Panadol, you have Panadol extra. This one is pastor, super pastor. And it's true. Because when it comes to pastoral matters. But here is the issue. This is how real tithers operate. They give automatic instruction to their account, into church account. The same thing with kingdom partners. Partners are people who have this monthly commitment for financing the gospel or the kingdom or mission. It could be TV ministry, you want to be financing, it could be whatever, but whichever area, you give automatic instruction. You don't wait for you to remember it. That's how my issue of tithing now is such an issue that it requires another person to. If they now misbehave, so they can carry the cost and leave me alone. When you keep it back, the 90, it brings a cost. The issue is that tithing is not favor that you're doing to God. It's like maybe like giving or sacrifice where you go. And no, tithing already belongs to God whether you give it or not. If the charge that he's placed on the universe for being the owner of it, and I've never seen anybody who does that. You own a business, then you let the manager have 90, you the owner has gets 10. Nobody does that. Will you do that, build a company and give away to your employees 90? Now, we are stewards, not owners. Say it with me. I'm a steward and not the owner. Say it with me. I'm a steward and not the owner. Say the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Okay. You think you are the owner. How much did you come with when you were coming out of your mother's womb? Even panty you didn't bring. Ordinary toothbrush you didn't bring. Of course, the day they said they gave birth to a baby and he's coming out with a toothbrush, they will ask for deliverance ministers to appear. Singlet, you didn't bring. And guess what? The Bible said, the same way you came here, that's how you are going. You are leaving all of them behind. You see all this thing you're calling your property that you bought them? You are leaving it behind. You see all this thing you're calling your car? You are leaving it behind. Because that metal came from God's earth. That rubber that you are running on your cutter came from God's earth. It has to be returned. Even your body came from God's earth. So they have to return it. It's just your inward man, your spirit that came from above that is going there. So God is in the business of recycling. Check now, he's the one that started it. Water, you drink it, you woo back. And when you woo, the ammonia and the other ones will go back to the soil. And the sunlight, the heat of the sun will extract the water out again. Send it up, recycle it, send it down back as rain. And guess what? You drink your urine. Even here, now, if the AC doesn't work well, you notice there are millions of pores on your skin just to give water back to where you collected it. You start sweating. The food you ate, some part has been consumed as energy. The other ones, you give it back to the toilet. The toilet gives it back to the ground. And guess what the ground does? The ground gives it back to the trees. And the trees give you back food. And you eat your poo-poo. Each time you hold an apple, you are holding a money. Each time you flush the toilet, you are flushing away food. So the whole of creation is ruled by giving and receiving. Anything that lives, gives. If it stops giving, it dies. Okay, let's do an experiment. You don't believe in giving. No church should talk to us about giving. Oya, you only believe in receiving, coming to God to collect. Oya, everybody breathe in. Hold it for the next 1 hour. We'll conduct mass burial. The same way you start dying financially the moment you start hoarding. Show them the scripture. There is he that scattereth, yet increaseth. And there is he that withholdeth more than his meat, and he turns to poverty. There is a portion I'm supposed to keep back, more than his meat, and he turns to poverty. Giving is living. Giving is living. There is he that scattereth, yet increaseth. And there is the other one that hoards, and he turns to poverty. I have never seen a wealthy, stingy person. Maybe your uncle is like that, but I'm here to meet them. He doesn't give to you, doesn't mean he doesn't give. So the ego subjects itself to self-sacrifice in order to experience self-renewal. And I want to show you this scripture. Psalm 103, show it to them. He renewed my youth like the eagle. Instead of growing old, the guy emerges with the strength of his youth one more time. He satisfied my mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like what? The eagle. How does the eagle do that? Isaiah 40 explained that. By learning to go and wait on the Lord. And to pull out and to give away and sacrifice the old so he can step into the new. And that sacrificial experience is painful for the ego. And like I said, 20% of the egos fail to do that. They die. They die in the middle of their lives. There are There's that 20% in the church. You are born an eagle. You have a dominion mandate. You are to be the head and not the tail. But you have not understood the revelation of giving. Generosity is still a problem for you. Your hand is like this. Try to give me something. Try. There are two things required in getting things from God. Two things. One is a disposition, but the other is an act. Oh, yeah? Try to give me something. Money, anything. Yes? Come, I want them to see you. Come. Yes? Give it to me. Give me the money. Give me the money. You see, to receive this, I have to lower my hands. Am I correct? Eh? Give me. As long as I put my hands above his, I can't receive. To receive things from God requires humility. For a bucket to collect water from a tap, you cannot rise above the tap. What do? You lower under it. That's the first one. People who flow in financial abundance recognize God as their source, not their job as their source, not their career as their source. They don't say, I'm a self-made man, because you're a God-made man. Do you know that even that energy you are using to go and create wealth, that is God that gave it to you? Haven't you seen young people like you, crippled, lying down like this, they can't move? Do you know that even that tongue you are using to communicate, that you think you're too much, is God that gave it to you? Do you know that even that your brain that you think is sharp, do you know all it takes is just one small knot to be loosened in it? You tear your clothes. Was it not last year I came back from Accra and they told me, this lady, pretty, tall, fair, elegant, has reached managerial position in an oil company. That's the place everybody wants to go and work. Any money in millions. Lives in Lekki. She has gone Koro. All it takes is one small knot. Just one small. You say you are self-made and you are the one that created that wealth. There is nothing you have you did not receive. So, humility is acknowledging God as your source. That's why you give him back the glory and the credit. And people that know that God is their source, that he's the landlord, they don't have issues given to him. And they don't also have issues given to people when he instructs them. Because they know that anytime he tells you to do that, he's about to load something new in your head. Create space for something else to happen. Create space. One of the aunties I got introduced, you know, trying to chase Pastor Sarah, you know, to marry her. And the mom introduced. And we went to that house one day. I don't want to call her name. All the old junk, some 30 years old. Some whatever. Old TV box, everything. Nothing. And the whole place is looking like a witch coven. Somebody's sitting room. And then you now look into the room. Oh my God, what is going on here? Is this a dustbin? Because she's a hoarder. It's a mental illness, so. It's a mental illness. Your whole world is about me, what I get. You don't understand that giving is living. And living is giving. Stagnation creates death. God sent me for one reason. That's what he told me. That he wants to push a couple of thousands of people to the next phase. Some of you are doing well already. But that's not all there is to your destiny. The second thing about receiving. Try. Everyone see my hand. And maybe what is causing me to hold it like that. Bring the other one. I saw. This is 200 naira. Let me see what you're trying to give me. 1,000. What is causing me to stay like this? Might be the 200. But oh yeah. That's what is going on with certain people. God has been trying to get something. He's not trying to take something from you. He's trying to get something much bigger into your hand. Anyway, I came back from that place where I just carried that car, went and dumped it on the altar. I said, you will not kill me. You are given to me to be an instrument of transportation, not to be a coffin. And because of a small car, it's not even whatever, flat, I'm now, my covenant with God, which I have kept for years, I'm now misbehaving because of you. Carried and dumped there. And then I went and straightened myself with God. I didn't do it overnight. It took me a little time, about 3 months, but I got. Because when you want to do what is right, I don't care. That car stayed in that mechanical. Because it had damages and it was stayed there for a long time. Of course, finally I ordered him to come and sell it and go and give the money to the church. Strengthen myself. I think it was October, November era. 2 brand new cars. Completely on another level. Not all this quick. In those days, now one was a V-boat and we were feeling like big men, you know. A-class. You know what we were feeling like. And then time passed. God said, it's time to leave that level behind. We need to give it. But I have broken my hymen. I'm no more a virgin when it comes to giving. Because there are people here who are still with this Aradite hand. You don't understand what you are talking about. Because you have had a struggle in this area of your life for years. No more that stingy struggling. No. I dropped it with ease. Time, a little time passed. We stepped into a whole new breath of fresh air. I think it was after that season I decided Tukumbo era. All this American is over for me. I'm through with that. 1 year I gave away 17 cars and didn't even know that anything happened. Because that's what happens. Whatever level you give, you subdue. You become master of it. You have dominion over that level. You know, my friend taught me this, Apostle Ndobe. He said, if you give God $1 million, I remember the first time I did that. Yeah, it felt like, oh my God, I drew all the blood in my body and poured on the altar. And I didn't have the money, but 100,000 there, I paid it off. I don't allow a vow last more than 30 days. But anyway, after paying it off, he said to me, do it again. You have not conquered it because you are still feeling. He said, once you, and then I did it again. There was a gap, about 6 months gap. I did it again. Next year he comes and he said, do it again. You have not conquered it well. I can see how you are still, this 1 million thing is still like, any. Do it again. Kill that level. And I did. And I was liberated from that gravitational pull for $1 million, $2 million thereabout. Even as a businessman, the kind of ideas, the kind of contacts you've been having now, the level of relationship, the things you'll be attracting, because the law of attraction, one of the laws of attraction, there are 7 of them, is giving. Giving decides the kind of things you attract, the kind of opportunities, the kind of influences, the kind of jobs, the kind of things that the world exposes you to. God bless you. A major politician in my city was pursued by assassins. And I was on the pulpit preaching, and we were not aware. And then he was running, and then a voice told him, run inside that church, you'll be fine. And he ran in and sat at the back. And as he sat at the back, I was given a word of knowledge relating to his circumstances. Anyway, rest his story. He came and solved a few problems that the church had then, a boss and a couple of others. He gave the church a piece of land. And then a few weeks passed, and then he comes to visit me. He said, do you know, God used you to save my life, but do you know, I want to give you something. He said, until you leave this town, you will never pay rent again. I'm living in a flat. And he takes me to where they are developing an estate and show about 2 different duplexes to pick one. He didn't give it to me for it to become my own. But he said, as long as I live in that town, I can live in it like I own it. But whichever day I choose to leave that town, it will return back to him. Good deal. No more rent. If you remember, those of you that were in Enugu, you will remember what happened. That Ndobe came, raised that fund for me to get, and I carried the whole fund. It was about 600,000. He wanted me to living in a flat to move into a duplex. But the church was buying land. I carried all of them and dumped them. It was my problem. And so this is the way the harvest came. Assassins started pursuing this guy. Sunday morning, he drove. He said, run in there. He ran in and sat down. At the moment he sat down, it wasn't long. God supplies me word of knowledge. Why? And then, time we had to pack in. I told Pastor Sarah, I don't like the location of that estate. It's too exposed. Everybody will know where I live. A pastor should have a quiet part of the city. So he said, what are you going to reject it? I said, no. Let's go and tell him anyway that we'll prefer to find a house in a different place so he can keep that one. And we were worried how he would feel. But we went and told him. He said, that's even better. Because this one is, I can give this one to a bank and make more money. So find any house you want in this town. It will be paid for till the day you leave this town. Eh? I said, okay. His own house is 5 room with 2 parlors. I went and found 7 room. Is it 7 or what? Or is it 5? But very big. If you see my bedroom in that house, I went and found in a good environment that is quiet. He paid for the place so much that I left after many years. When I left, when PCJ took over that place, he was still enjoying my rent. But once that era extended, he started paying rent. Because I was the one that sowed the seed, not you, then. That's why the testimony you gave yesterday, it shook me seriously. Because that is a triple miracle. It doesn't happen. I don't know if you talk about Revenant's bed. Revenant's bed to bring food to Elijah. That's a double miracle. You don't tell a hunting bed that hunts like a raven, like an eagle, to bring food to a prophet. And he will go and hunt. Instead of eating what he hunts, he will carry it to where he lies. That's double because it's against the nature of that bed. That's the kind of thing that happened. Glory be to the name of Jesus. One more thing God wants me to show you, and then I'm done. You see this whole thing happening here? People making commitment, all of that. The important thing, and what matters, is obedience. And then like we said yesterday, this is your project in Lagos. Anybody that gives $1 million and above, put their name in marble. Somebody said, why should you do that? It's a church. God does it in heaven. When you are passing, you'll be seeing people's names on streets. There is a street called Abraham's Bosom. I'm hoping that there will be one street with my name. The foundation of that city, they have people's names on it. The 12 gates of that city. God makes a memorial of people who sacrificed to move his kingdom forward. And let me say this because I know that many people don't understand it. I get the questions all the time. And if you're not yet a matured believer, I'm sure you have asked this question. And even if you're a matured Christian, you have had times in your life when you ask such questions. Why do we have evil on the earth? Why do we have babies dying? Where is God when all these evil things are happening on the earth? And sometimes you even see bad things happen to good people. And people wonder, if God is there and is all powerful, how come this thing? That accident that happened there and the trailer caught fire and 16 cars were burned. Where is God? You're not the only one asking. The worst one is that you get to orthopedic hospital, you see people's legs hanging. They are still alive. You see some at the point of death. And everybody's crying and calling on God. And yet, you hardly feel the presence of God in that place. You hardly feel the anointing there. Unless somebody that has it takes it there. Why do we have evil? Because there is Satan. Okay, even if there is Satan, God is stronger. Why does he allow him? Let me explain something now. Because this thing, failure to understand it, has hindered a lot of people who should be ruling and having dominion, especially financially. And they are not. And they don't know why. They think the problem is God. God wants you to prosper. There is another force in the universe that hates your gods and will do anything to stop you. God wants you to prosper. Show them, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospered. Every of this time, this ending of October, November, we are going to be back on this subject too. Next year, we're going to be back on it. If you notice how the ministry operates, we focus on all the essentials of the gospel. But this period, we're going to be back on this subject. Because if it's not important, why is it that you spend 6 days out of every 7 days in a week focusing on your work, your career, your business? I wish above all things, I wish above every other thing, above every other thing. How can God say this? Above every other thing that you prosper. One of the things he wishes for you is that you'll be healthy. And then the third is that your soul will prosper. So your soul prospering means that you are spiritual. You are growing in the things of God. You are growing in the anointing. You are walking in godliness. Your health prospering is that you are living healthy. You are not sick. But after that, the third most important thing God wants for you is financial abundance. Three things he wants more than any other thing, above every other thing for you. Three. One is your spiritual well-being. Because what is the use if you have all the money and still go to hell? Second is your physical well-being. Health. What is the use if you have all the money and your kidneys are packed up? But third is your financial well-being. Then, who is now causing the trouble? It's not God. It's Satan. Show them another scripture. Show them. God has pleasure. The book of Psalm. In the prosperity of his servants. Many years ago, you know, I used to have this other mentality because of the church I was raised in. I just hate that area. I just want to serve God. Even when I give, I say, I'm not giving to get anything, no. Not in God's word. Every seed has a harvest. I'm not giving, I just want to give because I love God. Stop deceiving yourself. God himself is customer-minded. He has reward for everything he commands us to do. The Bible said, whosoever that will come to God must first believe that he exists, that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's why all through the scripture, every scriptural principle has a result that he creates. Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. How many of you favor the kingdom here? You want God's kingdom to prosper. Let me see your hand. The Bible says such people, if you truly want God's cause, God's mission on the earth to prosper, you should be glad. You should shout for joy. Why? Let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which has pleasure, what? In the prosperity of his servant. You don't want your pastor to have a good car. You are thinking contrary to God. You don't want a Christian to be blessed. Your thinking is anti-God's thinking. God wants his children to prosper. God wants his servants to prosper. You say, no. I know that he's a real man of God because you see how he treks to church and trek back. That shows that he's humble. No, he's not humble. Poverty is not a sign of humility. There are poor people that are stubborn. There are poor people that are vulgar. There are poor people that are wicked. They oppress their fellow poor. There are poor people that are proud. There are even beggars that are proud. When you don't give them, they will not open the other side of their mouth. Poverty and spirituality are not twin sisters. For example, let me show you an example. Show Job chapter 1. The holiest man in the whole of the East at that time. The devil was asked to come and examine him. And look at the testimony. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. That man was perfect and upright. Perfect and upright. And he's somebody that feared God and avoids evil. Look at verse 2. And there was born unto him 7 sons, 3 daughters, so 10 kids. Women used to try in those days. I met a Canadian woman. She had 12. In Domino City, Mr. Peach and his wife. 12. White people. I'm talking about today, not 50 years ago. I don't understand that. Okay, look at his wealth. His substance was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and the Bible is taking time to give record of somebody's wealth. If this thing is not important to God, it took time to list what Abraham owned. They took time to list Solomon's wealth. They took time to list... Look at 500 yoke. He has told you that the man is a perfect man. The man is a godly man. The man is somebody that fears God. The man avoids evil. Now, he moves over to another side. So, when he said, I wish above all things that you prosper, be in health, even as your soul prospereth. The first thing he told us about Job is the prosperity of his soul, his spiritual health. The man is spiritually sound. Now, he moves to another side for you to see the picture of a blessed man.
Have you been impacted by this message?